Holy Spirit.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are your goodness. to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence,
Lord, let your glory fall. We'll be right back.
You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today.
Oh, praise the name.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, and my Savior on that cursed tree. Drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, and the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. No praise. Oh, praise.
10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and oh my soul, and worship His holy name. Sing like never before, and oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
Amazing grace, my chains are gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear me how I first believed. My chains are gone. Shall soon dissolve like snow, and the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, and will be forever. My Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. amazing grace.
Praise. Oh, do we have it in the? If not, dance along. Hold on. It's the Praise in the Valley. Brandon.
Brandon Lake, Chandler Moore.
A lot of names.
In the valley, and praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, and praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered, and praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water. Still in control. 'Cause my praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. Oh, my praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, oh, I've got a reason to pray. Sovereign, praise 'cause you reign. I'll praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. I'll praise 'cause you're true. And praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign. I'll praise 'cause you reign. I'll praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. I'll praise 'cause you're true. Oh, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. And praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And praise the Lord, oh, my soul.
Praise the Lord.
And praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. Oh, how could I keep it inside? So praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are worthy of all of our praise. Lord, I thank you that you walk beside us in good times and in bad, that you are our strength and you are our joy. You are our healing here on earth and also our perfection in heaven. We praise your almighty name. Amen. Because we have an in, which is really different.
Yeah. I don't want to ruin it. I don't like that part. But that's fine. I got to mark it down later.
Very good.
That reminds me, Craig, just so I don't forget, because I'm getting old, and if I don't say it now, I'll forget. But I need Craig specifically. If there are any songs that you don't think are in the book, like in the binder, tell me or email them to me or just a list, and I want to put them on our PDF. But I'm taking one of the books home, so anything that's in the book, I'm just going to go through it. Yeah, just because we can't trust in the internet. We can trust in the Lord, but can't trust in the internet. So,
it's just the way it's going to go.
All right, let's turn to Genesis chapter 33. Genesis 33, and we'll get there eventually. Lord, we praise you together, and oh, we thank you. Oh, we give you praise. I pray that you'd speak to us clearly right now. Holy Spirit, would you minister your word to us? We love your word, and we love reading it, and we love just listening and hearing it. But Lord, we also pray for the wisdom and just the ability to apply it to our lives and live it, that you are the living word, and I pray that you would live your word in us. And I pray that you give us the wisdom to know how to apply it in our daily lives and here at Emmanuel Grace as well as we gather together. Worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 33 is giving the account of Jacob meeting Esau. But as we were worshiping together, I was getting this picture actually of just the night before Jacob met Esau. Now, I knew kind of I was going to be preaching on this, unless the Lord, of course, changes anything. But so I already had it in my mind, but I got in my heart or a picture as we were worshiping there, Jacob wrestling with the Lord. Just God was ministering some stuff there to me. And I won't go into detail because I have to work it out for myself, first of all. But I think it has something to do even with the encouragement to pray as Emmanuel Grace about, Lord, is there anything you want us to change or do? And I'm just seeing it now even as I'm sharing this. Like, yeah, Jacob was with Laban for a while, and he built up over many years the foundation for the rest of his life. He He married, well, he only wanted to marry Rachel, but he ended up marrying Leah and Rachel. And by the way, I believe that in some way, I still don't understand God's ways, and I know that it's supposed to be one man, one woman for life, and yet God used that, and Leah was the mother of Judah, who became the great, and so on and so on, grandmother of Jesus, you know, and so it's just interesting how the Lord works. But anyways, when Jacob was with Laban, yeah, he married his wives, had a lot of his children, if not all his children by that point, right? And then also began to build up wealth for just the rest of his life, gathered herds and all of that. As he was heading back home, he wrestles with God, okay? And that wrestling was really important, and I just have that picture of us wrestling right now. I'm just, or at least for me, I'm wrestling with God a little bit, and just to see what he's saying. But anyways, eventually we get to Genesis chapter 33, and I want to point something out in Genesis 33. I noticed this a number of years ago, and for me, just again, so you know how the Lord has made my mind and how it works with me often, is I see in pattern and principle a lot. And like long before we met Randy and Darla, long before we were a part of Freedom Ministries there, and now that we're not a part of Freedom Ministries anymore, it's still there. But I mean, back into my childhood, I would see pattern and principle whenever I read the Word of God. And so I am not saying, when I point some of these things out, I am not saying this is the primary thing that God wanted to bring out in the text. What I am saying, whenever someone brings out, whether it's me or someone else, whenever someone brings out pattern and principle from something that doesn't necessarily look like that's what the main thing is about, you always take it to the Lord. However, there is precedent in the Word of God itself. I've mentioned this one before, just as an example. Out of Egypt I called my son. If you go back to the original Old Testament passage where it says that, it's clearly talking about Israel, and it's not an obvious messianic passage. And yet, it's quoted in the New Testament as referring to Jesus, and that he is the fulfillment of that prophetic pattern and principle. And so there is precedent for this, but we take it to the Lord. So anyways, Genesis chapter 33, Jacob is about to meet Esau, and he is scared. And so he divides everyone up, and he sends a gift forward to Esau, maybe to placate him a little bit, and just, oh, I hope things are going to go well. And he doesn't know how it's going to go, but the meeting goes really well. Esau has long forgiven and forgotten, it seems, the wrong that Jacob did to him, and they embrace and they weep and they kiss, and they are excited to see each other. And they've, you know, Jacob is just like, oh, I have found favor in your eyes, and he really honors Esau with his words, and Esau's like, you don't have to give me a gift. And Jacob's like, no, please take it. Seeing, I love the phrase, the passage, the verse that says, seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. And interestingly enough, right, the night before he had wrestled with God. And so I don't think he's just being flattering here. I think he's just genuinely thankful. And to see a face that isn't full of bitterness and anger, but instead full of reception and love and forgiveness. It's pretty powerful. Anyways, I'm going to start from, let's see here, verse 11. Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all that I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. Then Esau said, let us be on our way, I'll accompany you. But Jacob said to him, my Lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and the cows that are nursing their young. If they're driven hard just one day, all the animals will die. So let my Lord go on ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of the flocks and herds before me and the pace of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir, meaning until I come and meet up with you again in Seir. And then Esau's like, let me leave some guys with you. No, that's okay. We're going to be fine. You just go on ahead. We don't expect you to go at our pace, you know, because Esau was there with all, like a whole, like almost an army, it seemed. But we don't expect you to go at our pace. We need to go slower. The verse that I really want to concentrate on is verse 13, because this is verse 13 and 14. My Lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and the cows that are nursing their young. If they're driven hard just one day, all the animals will die. So let my Lord go on ahead while I move along slowly at the pace of the flocks and herds before me and the pace of the children until I get to our destination. I look at that and... before I get to that, I'm going to tell you a story. I think I shared this years ago about Randy Friesen. So Randy Friesen is the leader of MB Mission. I don't think I said this last week. I might have shared this on Tuesday night, but I don't think I shared it last week here. And he tells this story about how a bunch of missionaries were together, like 40 missionaries, because he was the leader of MB Mission for a long time. And missionaries would come for a conference or something many times, and the headquarters is out in BC for MB Mission. And then they would take advantage of the beautiful mountainous terrain. And Randy and his whole family actually loves hiking. And so they would take the missionaries on a hike. And Randy is not the type to go on just a small little hike. It's like, you see that mountain way up there? We're going to summit it. We're going to go and summit. And, you know, he's used to hiking, but not everyone else is. And so they would start out as a big group, and they would begin hiking. And eventually some of the people would say, you know what, I'm getting a little tired. I need to take a break. And he would say, okay, that's great. You take a break. You can catch up to us later. We'll meet you up at the top. And so a group would stop and take a break, and a smaller portion of the group would continue up. Well, then that would happen again. And I'm getting a little tired, and my legs are starting to cramp up. I just need to take a break. Great, you take a break. You go, and we'll continue on. And da-da-da. Well, he shares that eventually he gets to the top of the mountain, he summits, and he looks behind him, and there's two other people with him. The other 38 are somewhere on the mountain, you know, and I imagine most of them, if not the rest of them, didn't summit because... just the way it was. And he shared that is often the apostolic way of doing things. Like, we got a summit, and let's go, let's go, let's go. And that's part of the beauty of that personality type, that gift mix. And I've often thought about that story. I first heard that story, back in 2006. So about 20 years ago now. And I have often thought about that story and just thought, you know, for me, with my more pastoral heart, like God didn't make me an apostle. He made me a pastor. And that pastoral heart, I would tend to, even if I could go further, like my legs aren't hurting, my legs aren't burning or whatever, although they would be because I'm not in that great shape. But even if they weren't in great, even if they were in great shape, I'd be more like, you know what, I'm gonna stay here with the group and just sit down and start talking and chatting and making sure they're okay. It reminds me of when we were in Thailand, and we would have small groups coming, like short-term mission groups, one of the mission groups. So some of the missionaries who are over in Thailand, they were known for and love them. Okay, so Rick and Karen Sanchez. If you're going to listen to this later, Rick and Karen, this is not. This is not a blast on you or anything. It's beautiful because it's the way God made you, and it's great. So no offense, but they're known for, as soon as the group gets off the plane, it's like, we've got something scheduled for you tonight. Like, actually, we got to get going, get your bags. It starts in an hour and a half. an outreach ministry that we have had planned for tonight. And the people, you know, coming off a 24-hour plane trip from Toronto to Thailand, and they're jet-lagged and everything, no, we've got outreach, let's go. And then their whole 2 weeks or whatever in Thailand would be just jam-packed full from morning to night. My tendency would be instead, when we had a short-term team coming up, I wasn't in charge of scheduling and planning. My thing was more to see the short-term missionaries who are coming and saying, how are you doing? What's God doing in your life? How are you handling all this? Do you need to take a break? Do we need to sit and rest? Like, are you, like, talk to me about how God is processing this in your life, and how do you think this is going to be used in your life? And I would be so concerned about the individual, you know, and that's just the way God made me. It's not that I'm right and they're wrong, or they're right and I'm wrong. It's the body of Christ, right? It's the body of Christ. And we're all different. We all have a different gift mix. We need people who are saying, we got to summit that mountain. Like, we've got to, you know? Yeah, got to summit that mountain. But then we have others who are needed to say, hey, let's slow down a little bit. I look at this passage, and it's like, some would tend to be like, let's get to our destination as quickly as possible. We've been on this road for a long time. Let's move, right? And yet Jacob here is saying, no, no, if we move too fast, if we drive these cows and their calves hard even one day, they're gonna die. Or the lambs and the ewes, we're gonna lose a lot of them. Or even our children, we've got young kids, and we have to, yeah, we as adults, we can go, but you know what? They can't. They need some breaks. I remember when our kids, so Ezra, when our kids were about your age, really young, we would drive all the way to Indiana, and it's an 8-hour drive, of 8 hours of driving. But it would take us 10 or 11 hours sometimes. Because we had kids who were small, and they were getting restless in the car, and so we'd have to stop. And we would get out, and oh, here's a rest stop with a hill. Okay, kids, run up and down the hill a few times. And they'd roll down the hill, and they would tumble and all that kind of stuff. Oh, there's a park right there. Let's go on the swing set and swing and have some, you know, whatever. And then 5 minutes later, after we leave the rest stop, Dad, I've got to go pee. And it's like, okay, we got to now look for another exit to pull over and go to the washroom. I'm hungry. Well, we usually brought food along, and so they'd be fine with that. But it would just take longer, right? And it's not bad that it took longer, because out of love, we would go more at their pace. Out of love, we said, you know what? Maybe it's not about summiting. Maybe it's just about going as much as we can today, and then that's it. For those of us who are adults, you know, you take a trip. If it's just adults, like when our kids were adults and we went to Myrtle Beach, I think it was in like, was that in 2018? 2018. Went to Myrtle Beach. I don't know why I was looking at Alyssa, though. She wasn't there, but you know, you remember. you know, we're all adults. We're just driving straight through. Next person can take over. Okay, 5-minute restroom break, no problem. Quick in, out, like, let's get there as fast as possible. Adults can do it, but sometimes when you have kids and that, that's just not going to work at all. And sometimes, actually, when your kids are really young, you just forego all long trips. You just don't even venture there. You don't go that route. And that's not wrong. Because of love, it's this place of let's go a little slower. We don't want to leave anyone behind. We don't want to lose anyone. Okay? And I see that here. And I think it really has something to do with what the Lord might be even ministering to us in this season, at the beginning of this season. and what we're asking everyone to pray about. What does love look like, Lord? What does love look like for those, like, as we think about those in our congregation who are physically hurting and we're sitting a long time? Like, I even think of Helen Joy wasn't feeling great just right now, obviously, and needed to go home. And so someone's driving her home right now. What does love look like to minister to her in her needs, or Ruth in her needs, or Julie in her needs, and like with chronic pain and that? What does love look like for the young families, right? What does it look like, Lord? What does it look like for families coming in, or for visitors who might be coming in? And I feel like the Lord is putting that on our hearts and maybe asking us to pray about how we're walking the journey. Not that we've been walking it wrong, but just, is there some other things we can do? When our kids got a little older and we were traveling down to Indiana, or even when they were younger, we would take the computer along, plug it into the cigarette lighter or whatever that is. It's not a cigarette lighter anymore, and plug it in somehow, and they'd be watching movies, and we would play it. I actually enjoyed that, too, because I'm driving. And we would do it over the minivan speakers, and I could listen along. And because I'd seen the movie often, I can see the scene in my head right now. What does love look like? As I was meditating on this, I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 13. Now let me show you the most excellent way. It's never wrong to ask, what does love look like in this situation? Lord, how can we love each other better? And not just with emotion. Like, I have a lot of affection, and the emotion of love is strong in my heart. But that's not what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. Affection is great. Don't get me wrong. It's great. I'm glad I bring that to the table. You know, that's part of who I am. It's not a part of who everyone is, but it's a part of who I am. But 1 Corinthians 13 is all about, what does love look like? So then you get down to like verses 5 to 7. I think it's 5 to 7, if I'm not mistaken. Love is patient. Love is kind. Doesn't envy, doesn't boast, isn't proud, isn't rude, isn't arrogant, isn't self-seeking, keeps no records of wrong. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Remember when I've taught on 1 and 2 Corinthians and the Corinthian church? One of the main things that comes out if you study Corinthians is Paul saying to the Corinthian church, it's not all about you. Like, learn to love each other. When you get together for the Lord's Supper, don't get drunk and don't eat everything so that no one else has anything to celebrate with. Like, it's not about you. When someone invites you over for a barbecue and you find out that the meat has been sacrificed to an idol, don't partake. Not for your sake. You know it's just meat and it's good. It's fine. There's nothing to it. But maybe the other person still thinks of it as being sacrificed to an idol, and you hurt them and you ruin their conscience. Oh, but I'm really hungry and I like a good steak. Yeah, but it's not about you. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. When you get together, this person's talking, this person's interrupting, this person's doing that. You know, quiet. Prophets, one at a time. People who have tongues, don't give it. If you know that no one has the gift of interpretation, don't give that. Women, you know, like, as you're learning, we're glad that you're learning. Because in that culture, women weren't learning, but in the church, they were allowed to learn. They were invited to learn. Not allowed, I hate putting it that way. They were invited to learn. But honor your husbands by asking them at home. And you don't need to disturb everyone, you know. Like, you don't need to shout out your questions. Just love each other. It's not about you. All throughout, it's just over and over and over again. I follow Paul, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ. Like, are you actually arguing about these things? Like, have a little humility, right? Learn to love. And so it's like, Lord, what does love look like for us? There's been many times where I've said over the years, I could preach for another hour. How many of you have heard me say that? Right? Over and over. I could preach for another hour right now, easily. I have the endurance for it. I have so much that's going on. When the Holy Spirit fills me, I just have so much. It's like I could go on and on and on and on. But you know what? That's not always the question. First of all, the question is, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? And then we follow that. Absolutely. But what sometimes he says to us is, I want you, Kevin, I want you to love right now. I shared with Larry and Craig and Carlene too, as I've been praying about this, and even like Carlene mentioned, possibly streamlining. Like, that's one of the things that I would encourage you to pray about. Like, Lord, how do you want us to streamline? And I think he does, but like, do you want us to streamline things? And I said to them, I have to admit that sometimes I take a half-hour sermon and I spread it out into an hour unnecessarily. And again, if it was just like all of us adults and we're driving, like, yeah, okay, no problem. But it's not just adults sitting here who have nothing to do the rest of the day. Or it's like, okay, Lord, what does love look like in this situation? I want to walk that out. So not just here at Emmanuel Grace, but in life, what does love look like? Sometimes it means slowing down. Sometimes it means going at a pace that the other person needs, and it's not about you. Sometimes it means laying down your own desire. Oh, we're at this mountain. I'd like to summit too, but it's not about that, is it? Like, love isn't always about that. It's not about getting to a certain destination as quick as possible. Oh, we're making good time, and if we stop at this rest stop, we're not going to get our record. How many of you do that when you drive somewhere, right? I go, What does love look like? And so that's what I would ask you to pray, but not just for here in Emmanuel Grace, in life. What do others need? Lord, I want to minister to that. What did they need? So Jacob, I don't know, maybe he wanted to go forward with Esau. Maybe he wanted, I haven't seen you in such a long time, and now to see your face is like seeing the face of God, and I'm so glad that you've accepted me and forgiven me. I'd love to spend some time with you and catch up, but we've got some nursing calves. We've got some nursing ewes. We've got young children. We can't go at your pace. So I'll meet you when we get there. I'll meet you there. We're gonna take it a little slower. That's what love looked like. Does that make sense? You are never wrong to ask the question, what does love look like in this situation? It's always a good question. First to the Lord, like, and the Lord will give you the answer. We as people, we sometimes get the answer wrong because the person might answer the question out of their own bias or out of their own wounding or out of their own stuff. But ask the Lord. Okay? Are there any questions or comments on this? I know some of you are thinking, what? You done? Yes. Last thing I want to then ask for as you pray through this stuff, be praying for me. I was sharing before with some of the people, as I'm considering some of these things and taking these things to the Lord, and even now, as okay, the accuser of the brethren, he will try and hit us pretty hard. He's trying to hit me pretty hard, okay? I want to make sure that if we do make some changes, they all come from what God wants. And God approved, if you will. Whether that be the clock or decorations or a children's choir. Well, wouldn't that be great? Right? Yeah, Ezra is all ready for a children's choir. But may they be what the Lord wants. May it be to his glory. May it be his plan. What does love look like? Because of love. So if you're praying for me, pray that. Pray that the accuser of the brethren would just be kept at bay, and so that we can hear what the Lord has to say clearly. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. So, Lord, thank you. We love you. We worship you. Praise you together. We want to go at your pace, according to your will. Lord, I will give up. I'll give up anything for you. I really believe that. And I want to follow you wherever you lead. What's coming to my heart right now, even as I pray this, we often think that the only thing the Lord will say is summit that mountain. It's hard to accept that he's going to say, let's just sit here for a while. And this is good. Like, I want you to be here. So we just want to be with you, Lord Jesus. What are your plans? And we want to do all things in love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings.